Thank you, Ruth. Good morning, Woody. Oh, I like response. Good morning. Good to see you all. Great to be here. Thank you, Chris and the team, for the privilege and the honour to come and to be amongst you today. Gaynor and I have come down from the Rhondda Valley, where we're currently living. We were born and raised in the Rhondda, spent 25 years in exile in Swansea, but God called us back to help oversee the planting of Acts Community Church, which we've been doing for 7 years now. And the Lord has been so faithful, so gracious. May throw a story or two in about that as we get through some of this. That'll be good. But it's lovely to be with you. Yeah, I mean, out of the Rhondda, I travel all across Wales. I'm so blessed these days to have the privilege of traveling the four corners of Wales and helping a number of different churches in lots of different capacities. But it's been wonderful the last 3 or 4 years, especially, to be raising up a whole new dimension of prayer around the nation. And it's been such a joy to be working with churches all across Wales, helping them to re-engage and to bring prayer back into the center and the heart of church life. And some of the passion and the excitement that God is pouring into people's hearts as we find him again in a fresh way through prayer. So, I want to talk to you about prayer, if that's okay. Is that all right with you? All right, let me tell you, if you look at me like that all morning, I'm going to go on and on and on. So if you give me sermon face, I mean, don't worry about the notes. I can make this last for 5 hours. But if you kind of, you know, smile, if you kind of laugh, if you give me, some real good verbal endorsement and encouragement, that's what I want. That's it. And if you happen to clap in one or two places, here's the deal. I'll finish really quick. How's that? So we got a deal? Yes. All right. Yeah, you're looking better already. There you go. All right. So I wanted to talk about prayer. Why? Because prayer is amazing. You know, and we've been doing it wrong for so long. And that's why we think that it doesn't work. But when we re-engage with prayer the way God intends us to engage with it, everything is possible. Now, prayer is an awesome and an exciting dimension where you and I can meet God face to face. Now, who's up for that? It's thrilling, frightening, exciting, all at the same time. Prayer brings real change. Prayer will soften our hearts. Prayer will change our perspective. Prayer will sanctify our attitude. Prayer will motivate our desire. Prayer can transform lives. Prayer can totally change churches. Prayer can revolutionize a community. Do you believe that? Prayer is awesome. It's the power that God has released, and so often we just don't tap in to what he's got available for us. Prayer draws us into a place where we're in the presence of God and where we begin to change to be more like Jesus. Prayer is the powerhouse of the church. Prayer touches the throne of God in heaven. Prayer moves his heart towards us, if that's possible to be done in any greater way. God says, my house will be called, come on, help me, house of prayer for all nations. And prayer was the atmosphere and the environment in which the church was birthed, in which it began, in which it was born, in which it was launched and created. Prayer is the air that the church breathes. And the early chapters of Acts are just saturated with accounts of how prayer changed the life of that church and empowered this baby church to begin the vision and the mission of reaching the whole world with the good news about Jesus. And what I'd love to do is just walk you through just a couple of these first chapters of the book of Acts together this morning and just see the place of prayer in the life of the early church. And we can look at the power that is released through that and the difference it made in the life of the church and what that difference might mean to us and how we might find something of the fresh power and anointing of God's presence amongst us through prayer. So who's up for some of that? Amen. All right. Let me just tell you, on the response thing, you're doing rubbish. It's a 5-hour sermon. Get ready. Buckle up. Okay. So let's have a little think about the book of Acts. Now, who's read the book of Acts? All right, a few of us have done that. Good. Now, that's all about the life of the church. Jesus has just gone back into heaven. And as he's gone back into heaven, he has said to the disciples, after his 40 days after resurrection, he says to them, go back into the city and wait in the place of prayer until Father sends the power that you're going to need to touch this world. And they go back into the city of Jerusalem, and there's about 120 of them, and they find themselves in a big upstairs prayer room, something like this, and they just begin to wait for 10 days as they pray. And now we pick up the story and see what God does through prayer in the life of this new gathering called the church. Now, Jesus had been with them, as you know, for 3 years. And he had modeled to them every day. And they'd seen him, and they'd heard him, and they'd watched him make prayer just a natural part of the rhythm of his spiritual life. Yes? They'd seen him get up early, go on the mountain with God on his own. They'd seen him pray. They'd heard him pray. They'd watched him. They'd seen him make this just a natural rhythm of his spiritual life. And they'd learned, they'd watched, they'd seen, they'd understood. And one of the outstanding features of Jesus' life in the Gospels is his absolute commitment to the spiritual rhythm of prayer. Would you agree? Right? So if he needs to do that, how many of you know we might like to maybe need to do some as well? That's where the power came from. That's where the revelation came from. That's where the grace came from. That's where the understanding of God at work came from in his life. And if you want an exciting life, if you want stuff happening in your life, our prayer life needs to be bouncing. Everybody agree? Yeah. Need to get in the rhythm of our prayer life. And as the book of Acts opens, there he is, just going back into heaven, sending them back into the city to get into this place of prayer. So let's spin over into the book of Acts, right? And we're going to just have a little look at Jesus. How did Jesus' teaching and Jesus' modeling of the importance of prayer affect this early church? So we're going to go into Acts 1, which is just coming up on the screen. There it is. And in Acts 1:14, we read this. They all joined together constantly in prayer. Ha! Huh. How amazing was that? There's a good advert for your prayer night on Wednesday. They all joined together constantly in prayer. This wasn't one of those, well, you can come if you like, or you know, I know what it's like in the busyness of life, and we got to do this, and we got to do that, and we got to do this, and all the other. Prayer became the thing, the priority for this early church. Prayer became the one thing that they were focusing on. And they all joined together constantly in prayer. Now, some years ago, back from around about 2000 forward, we found ourselves coming out of the years of the Toronto outpouring, where God had done some amazing things, and where the whole world was being touched and changed and renewed and re-energized in life of the Spirit. Some of you will remember that. And God drew us out of the sort of fire and excitement of a move of God into the prayer room. And we were so compelled by the Spirit to seek God in prayer. And we found ourselves in a little village just above Bridge End called Kevin Cribourg. Some of you may or may not have heard of that, where God was doing an amazing work. And we found ourselves locked into this rhythm of prayer, which turned out to last for 7 years. Where a number of times a week, and we were gathering for prayer, and once a month we were going through the night, worship and prayer, seeking God for an open heaven. And we got an open heaven, and it was amazing. And some of you know the story, and you know, there was such an outpouring and such a sense of God with us in the church, and it grew just so much, and we had some people physically healed miraculously, and we had God pour out great financial provision upon the work, and there was so much happened. But out of this 7 year season of learning to engage with God in a fresh way in prayer, he did something amazing in us. How many of you know prayer changes us? If you want to get changed, if you're fed up of the boredom you feel with your Christian life from time to time, I tell you what, prayer will change that for you. And it changed it for us. And it drew us into the presence of God. And it was the same for these disciples here. It seemed that there was a strong sense of devotion and a devotion to prayer among these believers. And it was on one of these occasions when they're together in this upper room, constantly praying, suddenly from heaven, There's a sound of this rushing, powerful, uncontrollable wind. The whole place is just filled with a sense of God's presence, power, fire, intensity, passion. And there's an expression coming through the hearts of these believers that they hadn't experienced before. Huh, who's up for some of that? Yeah. And this kind of momentum, spiritual momentum, began to change them, and they began to become courageous, bold, strong, fearless, wanting more, compelled. And they found themselves pushed out onto the streets, where they just began to speak out what was coming into their hearts, this presence and power of God as they engaged in this place of prayer. You know the story as well as I. This was the day of Pentecost, when God was pouring out power on this new formed thing called the church. And out onto the streets, they just started proclaiming who God was. The great thing is, they weren't preaching. They were just worshiping out of this experience of prayer, declaring the wonders of God in so many different languages. And as they did that, people were saying, "What is this? What's going on? What's happening here? This is different." And it was the presence of God in their hearts and lives through this connection that they were creating through the power of prayer that was pouring out of them and touching other lives. You know what? I think we have gone hardly any of the distance we need to in discovering the power of prayer in our lives to reach lost people. It's so much better than just an evangelistic program, because there's fire and power and reality in that. And from this moment on, when the Spirit fills them and the power of God engulfs them, there's a different atmosphere, different environment among the believers. How many of you would say, "You know what? I think we could do with something of a fresh environment and fresh power among us"? Yeah. Sometimes, let me be tactful here. Sometimes church becomes predictable. How tactful is that? I mean, that's not bad for a Rhonda boy, is it? That's fairly tactful. You know, but it does. And we need fresh presence and power to impact us so the gospel can have free course out there. Amen? So we need to re-engage God in a powerful new way, a new dynamic of prayer. And so it's different amongst them. You know, whereas they'd been a bit timid and a bit cautious, now, wow, a bit fearless, a bit bold, a bit relentless out there and the proclamation of their message. And their entire spiritual landscape changes as this, what I would love to call the divine dimension, breaks through in their lives. And there's just this overwhelming sense of breakthrough and momentum and overflow. 3,000 people were impacted and just became believers. That's awesome. Isn't that amazing? That would be all right, wouldn't it? As we read through the rest of that second chapter of Acts, we find this right at the end. They devoted themselves. They gave themselves intentionally, willingly, and relentlessly to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. Guys, prayer is the powerhouse of the church. Church that prays powerfully, learns how to pray, learns how to re-engage with God in a powerful new dynamic, is a church that is going to see progress in its vision and mission. Church that allows prayer to slide down the agenda to where there's just a faithful half dozen who kind of keep it rolling because everybody else is busy, is a church that is always going to struggle to touch heaven and change earth. Are you with me? Come on. Really need to bring prayer right back into the central agenda of church life, because that is where the power is. Is the meeting God in the place of prayer changes us and changes those around us. Amen? All right, good. Well, you're getting a little warmer on the response thing, but hey, come on. In the middle of this prayer, when they devoted themselves to prayer, there's a little throwaway little line just at the end of Acts chapter 2, and it says this, that God was adding people to them every day who were coming to faith. Doesn't seem to mention an evangelistic outreach program going on. But in this place of fire and passion and presence, God was adding people to them every day. You get it? It's great. All right, let's move into Acts 3. And Peter and John are on their way up to the temple, interestingly, at the time of prayer. The regular prayer time was going on at the temple. Now, look, these guys were leading a movement that had just exploded. They had 300 new follow-on alpha groups to organize. They had a load of people to look after. They had a ton of stuff going on. But they gave themselves to the one thing that they knew was vital to ensure the continuing flow of the presence and power of God into the life of this church. Prayer. So they went up to the temple. They said, okay, first things first. Come on, John, let's get to prayer. They were in this flow. They were in this rhythm. They'd seen Jesus do it every day. They understood. They knew. He had communicated and modeled to them that prayer was the number one thing that they needed to get right in their life. Because out of that and through that would flow the very presence and power of God they were seeking and needing to fulfill their mission. Right? So they're on their way up to the temple for the time of prayer. Somebody else must have been running it, but they were on their way. They were going up and they were going to get real with God. And as they did that, you know the story. Peter and John went to pray. He asked for, and they gave him legs. That's how it worked. But it was in this context, wasn't it? Of this is an outstanding miracle takes place here. Peter says, hey, I haven't got silver or gold, but I'll give you what I've got. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And the man's up. And he's moving and he's walking. Wow. Everybody's like, wow, what is going on here? Amazing context. If they'd not been in the upper room in Acts 1, how many of you know they might have missed the outpouring of the Spirit? If they'd not been going up to the temple at the time of prayer, this man might not have got his healing. Here's a question for you. How many God moments do you think we miss as church because we're not in the place of prayer? How many God opportunities just go by because we're not in that flow and that rhythm of spiritual connection to God through a powerful expression of prayer and faith? Huh? That's where all the fun happens, isn't it? That's where all the good stuff goes on. I think I've been in enough boring meetings. Oh, there we are. I did say it. There we are. I've been in enough boring meetings in my life. I don't need another one. But I really need the power and the presence of God. That's what we all need. Here's another thought. It was the miracles that gave credibility to the message. Something powerful about God working spontaneously among people who are devoted to prayer. Anything can happen in that context. Because prayer changes the atmosphere. Prayer brings a canopy of heaven over us. Prayer changes the way we think, the way we feel, the way we engage God, the way we treat one another, the way we gather, the way we call out, the faith we express. I remember back in the mid-90s, late 90s, I was over in Pensacola, Florida, when the outpouring and the revival was happening there. Because I wanted to learn. I was saying to God, listen, wherever you're pouring stuff out over the world, I want to go get my head underneath that open window, and I want to learn. And I want to be in it. I want to walk in it. I want to sense what this is. I remember standing there one night. Gaynor and the boys were enjoying the delights of Disney World. I was up in Pensacola there, and I was just longing to see God move. And I got there really early, and I was just sitting on the curb outside waiting for the doors to open in the afternoon in the rather pleasant Florida sun. And the doors opened some 4 or 5 hours before the meeting would begin because there was such a long, long line of people waiting to get in. I'd only been in there about 10 minutes. And it was like 200-300 people showed up, all prayer warriors, all intercessors. And they got themselves into like 5 or 6 big groups. The auditorium was about 3,000 or so. And they began to gather around banners that they carried around the room. And they were praying for the lost, praying for families, praying for healing, praying for spiritual breakthrough, praying for revival, praying for fire. And for the next 4 hours, these guys relentlessly stormed the gates of heaven. So I just had to join them. I mean, you know, I'm from the Rhondda, so I don't care. I'm going to get in there and mix. And just praying with these people from group to group. And it was such passion and such expectation and such faith and such reality. And I could feel it just rubbing off on my spirit as I just engaged with people who were sensing and who were living in and walking through a season of God's immediate presence and outpouring in this revival. Well, the meeting kicked off and there was just wonderful worship time. Yeah, it was just amazing. I loved that. I was just lost in the worship. I remember there's a guy called Lindell Cooley was leading the whole worship time. And they were singing an old song, Over a Thousand Tongues, to sing my great Redeemer's praise. And there's a refrain in one of the verses there that says, he breaks the power of cancelled sin, he sets the prisoner free. And they sang that refrain, he sets the prisoner free. He sets the prisoner free. He sets the prisoner free over and over and over. It must have been 10, 15 minutes. I mean, it felt like 3 hours. Just singing this refrain. And the more they sang this refrain, the spiritual atmosphere was building and building. And people started weeping and people started falling to the ground and people started calling out on God. The preaching was pretty mediocre, to be honest. A bit like me. Rubbish. And then suddenly, Steve Hill says, now you come. Jesus is here. I was amazed from all over the auditorium. And I was pretty two rows from the front, something like that. We had to move, get rid of all the chairs. 500 more people came running to the altar, crying out for forgiveness and for God to accept them. Isn't that awesome? I mean, how many of you learn stuff when you're in that atmosphere? And the power of prayer was something I really was thinking, God, you need to teach me this. This is great. And it was just awesome to stand in such things. I've been privileged to stand in some of those things over the years. And it's just such an amazing sense when heaven touches earth. Outstanding. So these disciples, they're learning, right? They said, okay, Peter and John, they went up to the temple at the time of prayer. And that's where they were engaging with God. Let's not lose any more God moments for the church. Because of our sort of, you know, lack of bringing prayer to the front and center of our agenda. What do you say? Up for some of that? It's great. I often encourage people, you know, that in prayer we need to break the sound barrier. Because most of us are afraid of the sound of our own voice, right? You know, we don't want people to hear us because we don't feel that we can pray well and all that nonsense. You know, we just need to pour out what's inside us. God loves to hear his children crying out to him. And so we've been creating, haven't we, this sort of different opportunity, which we've been calling Harp and Bowl prayer nights, where we've had worship and prayer happening for the whole sort of hour and a half, just to help us engage with enough noise and canopy of worship so that we can just engage in a fresh place of prayer and crying out and pouring out to God. We get passionate enough watching the Six Nations, won't we? I hope so. But I want to be even more passionate in the place of prayer. Come on. If it grips your heart, you're going to shout about it, right? And that's what we need to be. And we need to be just no longer this sort of polite, nice, gentle group of people. Let's get passionate. Let's get energized. Let's get a little bit crazy, calling out for God to do something dynamic, new, and fresh in our city and in our nation. What do you say? Come on. So let's get up to the temple at the time of prayer. So let's roll on into the next chapter, chapter 4. There's only 28 chapters in Acts. No, I'm kidding. I'm only going to chapter 6. Seriously. So in this next chapter, right, this is amazing. Many who heard the message, saw the miracles, believed. Well, they would, wouldn't they? That's what people do. When they hear the message, see the miracles, they believe. And so this stirs up jealousy and opposition. Guess amongst who? Religious people. Religious people don't like moves of God. Guarantee you that. Religious people like it the way they like it. One of the biggest words that's caused me trouble in church life is not sin, it's change. Serious? How many leaders, church leaders, does it take to change a light bulb? Change? We're not going to change a light bulb. Yeah, but it doesn't work. That's okay, brother. It's been out a long time. You just leave it alone. I mean, it's just ridiculous, isn't it? Come on. And we need that sense of God moving amongst us. But religious people don't like the move of God because you know, your times are out the window, right? If God shows up here this morning, you won't get to that 12:30 meeting. If God shows up here, we'll still be here at tea time. In Brownsville, Pensacola, Florida, when God showed up on Father's Day in 1995, He blew through that place like a mighty wind and fire, and people were still on their faces at midnight that night. Come on. You want to touch something real? It's awesome. Touch some of that and you taste some of that. It does rather spoil you for the other stuff, I'm glad to say. So there's this opposition. So they grab the leaders, throw them in jail. We haven't got to that yet. Throw them in jail and warn them and tell them, you're not to preach or teach in the name of Jesus. Flog them, let them go. So they come out. What do they do? Do they think, okay, guys, stop. We've got to stop this stuff. You know, enough's enough. Come on, we've got to respect the authorities. Mm-mm. They gather the church together for what? Thank you. For prayer. They say, guys, we need to get together here. We're up against this. Come on. And it says wonderfully, look, in Acts 4:24, they got together and they raised their voices together in prayer to God. I would love to have heard that sound, wouldn't you? There's a roar in there that I would love to have heard. There's a cry. There's a reality. There's a passion. There's an energy in there that I would love to hear. And they prayed something like this. Sovereign Lord, stretch out your hand. Do wonderful miracles and signs through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And Luke records this and he says, and the place where they were meeting started to shake. Huh. The building was shaking. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to cry out about the power and the presence of God. And they had a courage and a boldness that came upon them as the church that they didn't have before. I think we could do with some of that. Don't you? I think we could do with a change in the way that we've been doing church. And if we just have the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit pouring into the church, and we would engage and break through that sound barrier of being afraid of the sound of our own voice and begin to call out and cry out for God to do something new and fresh and dynamic in our generation, maybe he would just hear us. Wouldn't that be awesome? That would be wonderful. Well, next chapter, chapter 5, is amazing. Because this prayer momentum leads into a healing revival. Huh. This wasn't planned, but this just happened. This prayer momentum, this atmosphere change that was in the church. They were living every day. Remember, Acts 2 told us they were devoted to prayer. They were gathering daily. God was adding people to them daily. This was a roller coaster. This was a downhill ski ride. This was amazing. This was momentum. This was spiritual reality. God at work in their midst. And so in that context, a healing revival begins. So that even Peter's shadow falling across sick people who were lying on the ground, they were getting healed. Now, how many of you know that might change church a bit? Mightn't it? Be awesome, wouldn't it? I've been so privileged. Again, traveling, and I was with some of the South American evangelists from Argentina and Guatemala, just seeing what God was doing with them. And I saw miracles with my own eyes that God was doing. Changes the atmosphere. Changes the reality that you and I accept as just being normal. And it blows it out the water. Come on, who wants some of that? Change this. It would change our city, wouldn't it? It would change our communities. It would change our nation to see God come in power. Well, it was happening. This prayer momentum just leads into this healing revival. And it says that they brought people from all around. People come from all around. That's what happens. When God shows up, people come from all around. And the agenda and the timetable changes. And it all goes out of the window. And it's just waiting on the presence of God and going with whatever he does. And it's such an exciting thing to be in. And it costs so much for you and me. I was talking to one of these guys in Pensacola, in Florida. I said, so tell me a little about, you know, how you've been serving this move of God for these last 18 months or so. And he said, Rob, it's killing us. But we're loving it. And he said, we're here from 4 in the afternoon until 2 a.m. in the morning, serving the thousands of people who are coming. And hundreds of people every day are giving their lives to Christ. And he said, and it's killing us. He said, we all work regular jobs, and we finish the job early, and we come in, And he said, I do three nights a week. My wife does two nights a week. So we see each other on the weekends, but we're in church on the weekends. And he said, family life has been on hold for 18 months and we've stopped doing almost everything else that we do in order to serve this move of God. Because we understand it's here for a season and we're going to serve it while it's here. How many of you are ready for something like that? Yeah. I mean, you understand. There is a cost to moving in these things. You know, and it will take over our timetable. And it'll take over our nice, comfortable life pattern and the way we like it to be. And it will demand more of us than we ever imagined. That's how revivals work. They are hard work. But wouldn't it be awesome to see a healing revival break out in the nation? Wouldn't it be great to have testimonies on the TV, on BBC News, Wales Today, Jamie Owen interviewing people, Lucy Owen asking people, so tell us what happened. Well, all I know is, once I was blind, now I can see. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be awesome? And prayer momentum in the church will change the spiritual atmosphere in any nation. We need it. Well, there wasn't only prayer revival, healing revival. There was angelic visitation. Yeah, we could go for some of that. There was powerful preaching. Many more people were coming to faith and being added to the church. One thing it wasn't was predictable, right? Wouldn't it be great to come to church with an expectation in your heart? I wonder what's going to happen today. Yeah, wouldn't it? You know, we all rock up to church pretty much knowing what's going to go on, right? Well, wouldn't it be great to think, God is showing up today. Anything could happen. I'm going to get there early. Wouldn't it be great to see 40 of us here from 9:30 walking back and forth here praying, God, let your presence and your power fall today. Let it be a change. Let people feel irresistibly drawn from the pavements to come in here because your presence and your power is here. And then let there be healing breaking out. Let there be miracles. Let there be your presence and your power. Let the worship go right through the roof, rip the roof off. Let there be a sense of heaven here amongst us. Now, wouldn't that be awesome? Come on. That's what your heart is, isn't it? That's what you want. I'm telling you, right? Get back into this place of bringing prayer into the center of the church's life and engage with it with an intentionality and a reality like you've never have before, and you'll be amazed at what God might do amongst you. Gain and I be down every Sunday then. Just love to be where God is. I love to be involved in what he's doing. Pursuing him. Tommy Tenney used to talk about being God chasers. Spent 3 hours lying on the floor of Moriah Chapel in Swansea with Tommy Tenney, calling for the presence of God to fall. Whew. Guys, you really need to touch something different in this spiritual dimension. All right, let's go over to Act 6. And in Act 6, right, central importance of prayer in the life of the church, once again, demonstrated clearly in Acts chapter 6. There was an issue arose in church. How many of you know there's always an issue arising in church? It doesn't matter what it is, there's always one coming up, right? Always. And so this was legitimate. I mean, it wasn't people being difficult. They were hungry. And the distribution of the food thing wasn't working. Well, they had so many more thousands of people to suddenly deal with. I mean, even their best organized food bank was getting a bit overrun. So they couldn't make it work. People were a bit put out that they were hungry and they were getting some and we weren't, and so it goes. So they bring it to the leaders, which is what people do, right? And say, this isn't fair. Now look at what they do. This is so important. I know you know your Bible as well. But the leader says, okay, this is good. This is right. Thank you for bringing it to our attention. We need to do something and we need to do it now. So they choose out a whole bunch of guys and gals who've got the spirit of faith and spirit of God, who are part of their team. And they say, guys, will you look after this? Because we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word of God. How many times does a move of God that is coming and brewing in the spirit get derailed by leaders giving their time and attention to stuff that's of secondary importance? And sometimes we bring the issues of secondary importance before the leader's attention, and we soak up their time. Honestly, I really believe the churches that say we will give our attention to prayer and the word, we will make the main thing the main thing, and we will get to that place where, come what may, come whatever else, you as a church will know that your leaders are constantly in the place of prayer, calling for God to pour out his spirit in great measure upon this body of believers. How many of you know that's going to make for a better church? You know, our best organization, our best structure, our best programs, our best projects, right? Our best strategies. Honestly, having traveled quite a lot of parts of the world and seen God at work in many different cultures, the one thing for me that has remained constant to see the power and the presence of God poured out is prayer. And a passionate, powerful expression of prayer in the lives of his people. So you up for doing a bit of praying? Okay, three of us are. Come on. But if we don't allow other things to obscure the priority of prayer, especially for those who lead the work, I know you're hearing me. It's number one. Throwaway comment by Luke, commenting on this little period of history in the church's life. By the way, this is just the first few weeks of the church's life we've walked through this morning. That would have been great, wouldn't it? I would love to have been there. And Luke says this, "And the word of God spread, and the number of disciples increased rapidly." No evangelistic program, overrun the Alpha course by a long way. Suddenly, because the leaders gave themselves to the priority of seeking the presence and power of God through prayer, the church grows immeasurably. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be amazing to see God do great things like that across our city? This last year, we've been praying for it, haven't we? We've been praying for God to move across the city and bringing prayer back into the agenda of the church's life. 6-7 times a month, I'm in a different location across Wales, helping churches to re-engage with the presence of God through prayer and demonstrating how we might do that. So, oh, we're 12:05. Can we got 10 minutes? Okay. How many of you would like to engage God in prayer for the next 5-10 minutes in a fresh way? Shall we do that? Right, let's stand for a minute then. Is this okay to lead off into this, Chris, for just a few minutes? Ruth, is that all right? Now, the early church lived and breathed by prayer, right? Okay, so let's get out of our seats. They're only there for your comfort. Just get out in the aisles or up the front. Just get out of your seat, because you need to be not where you've been for the next couple of minutes. Right? Because we love to be in our seats, don't we? We love it. So let's just get out, just get in the aisles. Let's get in groups of 3 or 4 together. Go on, just gather into groups of 3 or 4. Musicians, can I ask you to come up? That would be awesome. Now, in the whole history of the church, right across the centuries, there has never been, listen to this, never been an outpouring of the Spirit or a revival that was not the result of the church rediscovering the power of prayer. Every move of God throughout history has been inspired and initiated by the church finding its voice again before the throne of God in prayer. You up for this? All right. So we're all going to pray at the same time. All right? So just get huddled into your groups, and then, you know, you can just be comfortable with each other. And we're just going to call out for God to do a great thing here at Woody, to break out in an enormous way amongst us. And we're just going to just lead us in a worship song, guys, nice and gently in the background. And come on, we're going to pray. We're going to ask God to pour out his presence, pour out his power here among us in these days and these weeks that follow in a fresh way. Is that okay? All right. Come on, let's just begin to pray. Father God, we are here this morning to just re-engage with you in a fresh way. Lord, we want to lift our hearts to you. We want to lift our voices to you. We want to cry out and say, Lord, we are not satisfied with what we've got. We are not satisfied with where we are. We are not satisfied with not seeing the things that our hearts long for. So we are praying today in a fresh way. God, would you see our hearts? Look upon us. See us as we cry out to you for a fresh outpouring of your Spirit. Fresh outpouring of your presence. Fresh outpouring of your power. Engulf this church of ours with fresh fire. Let there be a sense of God moving in our midst. Lord, we want you. We want your presence. We want your power. We want to see things we haven't seen before. We want to sense things we haven't sensed before. We want to see new people coming believers. We want to see miracles among us. We want to see you at work. We want to see you moving in great measure and in great power through your church. God, stir our hearts now as we come before your throne. Lord, hear us as we cry out and we make our voice heard before you in heaven and ask you, Lord, pour out your spirit, pour out your presence, pour out your fire and your power in our midst. Don't let us just slide into our own agenda. Don't let us just get locked into a pattern of meetings that we find ordinary. God, it's your presence we're after. God, it's your power we need.